There are, in essence, dueling declarations of this day. The second Monday in October was celebrated for many years as Columbus Day, roughly marking the date on which Christopher Columbus came ashore in the Caribbean after crossing the Atlantic. That event led to many others that caused dislocation, pain, and death for the indigenous people of what we now call the Americas. More recently, this day has been declared Indigenous Peoples Day. Southern Oregon University recently unveiled a land acknowledgement statement and protocol to acknowledge the people who lived here before people of European descent came in and took over. So we have four guests planned, three on the line with us now. Linda Schott, president of Southern Oregon University, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you. Kayla Dumore is on the line already, one of the Southern Oregon University students we'd intended to talk to and a member of the Native American Student Union. Kayla, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And David Humphrey joins us as well, the director of the Oregon Center for the Arts at Southern Oregon University. David, always good to have you on the program.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
We are trying to get a hold of another student, Jasmine Swick, just not having much luck getting her on the phone at the moment, but still working on that. Linda Schott, if you would, talk about the initiation of this process.
Thanks, Jeff. You know, this has been a developing acknowledgement of the role of the indigenous peoples at SOU. When I first came as president in 2016, one of my early meetings was with a group who asked that we declare Indigenous Peoples Day instead of Columbus Day. And so we got the approval of folks on campus, and we did that. And then I had the opportunity to visit several of the Oregon tribes and learn more about their history. As someone from outside of Oregon, I didn't know a lot coming here, I'm ashamed to say. And then when our Native American Studies faculty member, Brooke Colley, approached me about the idea of land acknowledgement, it just seemed like a natural development of our other efforts. So we appreciate Professor Colley's work. She really took the lead on negotiating this land acknowledgement with representatives of the Siletz and Grand Ronde tribal communities. And, you know, we're just very pleased that we can be acknowledging that the land on which our university sits was occupied for centuries before by others, by the Siletz and the Grand Ronde and the Lakgawa, and just feel that it's sort of overdue and are trying to do this in a way that will be meaningful and honoring going forward.
So, Kayla Dumore, this is supposed to speak to you directly, and just talk about the feelings that you have about this and the discussions you've had perhaps with other members of the Native American Student Union.
Sure. We were all pretty excited when we heard, at least I was pretty excited when I heard that they were going to have an official land acknowledgement. We've been giving land acknowledgements since, you know, as long as I can remember. And so it's really nice just to have an official one to make sure that it's a common practice across all campus. And then hopefully it can spread to be a normal practice across Oregon.
Is it enough in your mind? Does more need to be done? Is this a beginning, or does it represent some other point in a process for you?
No, this is absolutely the beginning of something that should be a really huge step forward for Native communities.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go for it.
So I was going to ask David Humphrey to come in here about the Oregon Center for the Arts taking a big part in this. Talk about that role in creating the land acknowledgement.
Well, actually, our role is more the implementation of it and not so much the development of it. I can say that what's important here is that it's leadership from the top, that we all get involved in doing this because we want to, but it also is making people aware that this, how important this is. So our role at the Oregon Center for the Arts is looking at ways of making our audiences aware of the land acknowledgement statement and also what it means, and also in doing it in a meaningful way that portrays the history of this land.
Did you say I role or my role?
my role.
Okay, I'm sorry. The reason I got there is because, and I want to just jump ahead to this, because you mentioned that in some of the documentation about the process of implementing the land acknowledgement, that you want to make sure you don't get to a point where people get bored by this and just it becomes a rote kind of thing.
Well, President Shaw was very emphatic about that, and I agree with her, that we do want to make it meaningful. Doing repetition of the statement over and over again, people will tend to kind of ignore it, and we don't want that to happen. What we want people to do is to understand the history, but also learn more about it. And that's why in the statement it has connections and contacts with other online services and information where they can get more information about the whole history.
So we're talking about the land acknowledgement at Southern Oregon University recently adopted. David Humphrey is the director of the Oregon Center for the Arts at Southern Oregon University. Kayla Dumore is a member of the Native American Student Union, obviously a student at SOU. Linda Schott, the president of the university. And if you have questions or comments for our guests, join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760. That's the phone number. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Linda, what process did you see this turning into other than just adopting this statement? Where does it go from here?
Well, we took some care in thinking about how to roll this out. It actually was finalized last spring, but I wanted to make sure that we had a sort of strategy to use it appropriately. So I talked with the big organizations on campus, so the Oregon Center for the Arts, Jefferson Public Radio, the Athletics Department, and Oregon Health Sciences University on our campus, and asked them to propose how they would utilize the land acknowledgement. And they each then sent me their ideas on how and when they would use this. And we forwarded that to our Native American Advisory Council for review to make sure that it was appropriate, and also to our Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion team. And I think in all cases, the one group or the other came back with some suggestions and modifications. And so I feel pretty good now about the plans. As David Humphrey said, you know, the idea is not to print it everywhere or read it at the beginning of every event. Athletics, for example, I believe plans to read it at the homecoming football game because that is generally where they have the largest crowd. We will use it at major university events. We used it at convocation this year. And, you know, I'll just inject a personal story there. I was sitting out on the football field in Raider Stadium as the vice president of our student senate read the land acknowledgement, and I was looking up at Grizzly Peak, looking at the mountains, and it's the first time, I have to admit, that I really stopped and thought about the history of that land before we were there. So it was a very meaningful experience, and I hope that's what other people will have as they hear this for the first time and then hear it periodically thereafter.
Kayla Dumore, as a member of the Native American Student Union, what do you hope people take from hearing the land acknowledgement or reading it?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I hope that it brings awareness to, you know, Native peoples, not only that were here before we were, but are still here. The Shasta Tequelma tribes, Shasta and the Grand Huron, or the Tsleil and Grand Huron tribes, are still here and they're still thriving today. We're on Shasta Tequelma and Lethgawa land. And you know, there's a lot of people who are still here and still thriving and still coming to college, which is not something that, you know, a lot of people think is possible.
Well, what is your background? Where did you come to college from?
Oh, yeah, I was born and raised in Oregon. I am an enrolled tribal member for the Klamath tribes. I'm Klamath Modoc. So So my ancestral homelands is in Klamath Falls. But I was born and raised here in Oregon, yeah.
And did you see, or did the Native American Student Union see earlier versions of the land acknowledgement? I'm just curious to know how much you got to see earlier versions of this.
So I personally didn't. I can't speak for anybody else, obviously. But we as NASU and as Native people have been giving land acknowledgements for years, long before I think this was even a thought.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally don't. I did not see any previous writings of this.
All right. So Native American Student Union, NASU events. You're saying you've been using land acknowledgement for a long time.
Well, not just NASU mm-hmm. as a group, Native peoples in general.
Yeah.
Just because we feel like we have to acknowledge the things that happened, otherwise nobody else will, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to, you know, respect those that came before us because we know the importance of, you know, land and our ancestors and things like that.
Kayla, how big is the Native American Student Union, or is it hard to tell when you guys have been off campus for so long?
It is a little bit difficult to tell. Right now, we are currently growing. I believe we have about between 6 and 8 regular members, including our advisor, Professor White Eyes. But we are always growing, and we always welcome new students, and in fact, we encourage it.
Mm-hmm. Was there much of a discussion within the Native American Student Union about the land acknowledgement, either pro, con, or what should be in it?
I think we were all pretty happy about it. I think I don't think any of us had anything against it. There was no cons. It was all really awesome. I think the only thing is that we really think that it's a step forward and that we need to keep taking those steps forward and bringing recognition and, you know, the, not rights per se, but, you know, bringing the things that, reparations, there we go. That's mm-hmm. the word for it. Bringing reparations to Native peoples.
All right. Linda Schott, writing by committee can be tricky at best. I mean, how you mentioned you had an earlier version or you started talking about it last spring or it was finished last spring. I mean, how long before that did the writing process begin?
Jeff, I wasn't involved in that. It was Professor Brooke Colley. And I understand from her that there were many iterations as the representatives from, particularly from the Tsleil-Waututh and the Grand Ronde, had to agree on all of the language. So I can't say much more about that, but I do know that, you know, she took her time and really worked through until everybody was satisfied with the language. That's why you know, we have developed a website about the land acknowledgement. It has a protocol for usage on the website. We ask anyone from campus who wants to use the land acknowledgement to go review the webpage, review the protocol, and, you know, not change it because it's been so carefully negotiated.
We are talking about the land acknowledgement statement just created by Southern Oregon University, not just, but now in place at Southern Oregon University to be read at a number of public events, acknowledging members of the tribes who lived here before white settlement. You can join the conversation on the exchange with Linda Schott, the Southern Oregon University president, Kayla Dumore, who's a member of the Native American Student Union, and Oregon Center for the Arts director David Humphrey. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Would one of you like to read it? Kayla, I will offer this to you first.
Oh, man, I've given so many of these. I'd like to offer it to somebody else if they would like to.
David, do you want to take it? Is it in front of you?
Well, I have to get it. So I can read it.
Linda, is it in front of you?
I am pulling it up right now, so I could do it.
Go ahead, please.
We want to take this moment to acknowledge that Southern Oregon University is located with the ancestral homeland of the Shasta, Tequelma, and Lakgawa peoples who lived here since time immemorial. These tribes were displaced during rapid Euro-American colonization, the Gold Rush, and armed conflict between 1851 and 1856. In the 1850s, discovery of gold and settlement brought thousands of Euro-Americans to their lands, leading to warfare, epidemics, starvation, and villages being burned. In 1853, the first of several treaties were signed, confederating these tribes and others together, who would then be referred to as the Rogue River Tribe. These treaties ceded most of their homelands to the United States, and in return, they were guaranteed a permanent homeland reserved for them. At the end of the Rogue River Wars in 1856, these tribes and many other tribes from Western Oregon were removed to the Siletz Reservation and the Grand Ronde Reservation. Today, the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde Community of Oregon and the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians are living descendants of the Takelma, Shasta, and Lakgawa peoples of this area. We encourage you to learn about the land you reside on and to join us in advocating for the inherent sovereignty of indigenous people.
Thank you, Linda Schott, president of Southern Oregon University, for reading that. How does it make you feel when you hear these, Kayla, as a person? I mean, you're being talked about, in a sense, while you're there.
I really don't feel as though I'm being spoken about in this personal land acknowledgement. I'm not a community of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde or the Siletz Indians.
No, not these particular ones, but I mean in general, when you hear land acknowledgements, how does it make you feel?
I mean, again, it's something that we've acknowledged for hundreds of years at this point. So really, it feels good to finally, you know, have that acknowledgement come to light and come to the majority. But I also feel that, you know, it's a first step, and there are a lot of other inequalities that are being, you know, committed right now, really terrible things that are happening to Native communities and Native land. And so I think that this is a really great step, but that we should also be looking at, you know, what else is going on and what else we can do to help that.
You mentioned reparations. You mean the actual cash reparations, payments to people?
How do you mean?
Well, you said reparations. That's often used to mean financial reimbursement to people. Was that what you had in mind, or did you mean it in a different sense?
Well, no. I'll be honest, I was trying to come up with a word because my brain didn't want to figure it out.
Monday morning brain, I get
you.
Yeah,
no kidding, right? No, it's just, you know, getting land back, getting, you know, their rights back, honoring the treaties that were signed, things like that, not necessarily financial reparations.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. David Humphrey, ideas for events that will begin with this. Linda Schott covered some of that, but there is a mention in the plan document about potentially a shorter version so this doesn't become a routine thing that gets ignored after a while.
Well, I can say there is no shorter version. We are going to follow the entire statement as it's been prescribed. But I also want to say that we had a conference of the International Council of Fine Arts Deans last week, and I led a session on land acknowledgement for other deans of universities across the country. And I have to say that there are many universities who are doing this. Seems that Southern Oregon University is one of the leaders to have developed it and moved forward as quickly as it has. So I'm very proud of our university for doing that. In terms of implementation, we're looking at reciting the statement, not necessarily just reading it, because reading it is good, but if someone can recite it, that's even more meaningful. We're looking at being able to put it in all our programs, which we've already started. It's on our signature line, on our emails, so that's there. But also, we keep referring people to the website. I think that's what's crucial here. And there are many ideas of what else we can do, but we are following the guidelines that are established by our EDI committee and what is appropriate and what is meaningful. I think President Shaw mentioned the fact that in doing it, repetitive performances may not be meaningful, but doing as specific performances or special performances is, and that's what we're looking at.
Linda Schott, has this opened up avenues of communication with the Confederated Tribes of Siletz and the Grand Ronde to continue to talk to them about things, about talking about the kinds of things that that Kayla was talking about, that there needs to be more acknowledgement of Native Americans and their issues and justice for them?
Yes. So I was really pleased to be able to visit the Siletz and Grand Ronde tribal communities. I think it was, pre-COVID, so I think it was 2018. Mm-hmm. And I had a wonderful meeting with the tribal council. So that was, for me, sort of the beginning of learning. And since then, we have approached them about signing a memorandum of understanding. We have such a memorandum of understanding with the Klamath tribe that provides scholarships to some tribal members from Klamath, as well as they provide some scholarships, and it has a lot of other components to it. We hope to have similar MOUs with the Siletz and Grand Ronde. I will say, the pandemic has really slowed progress on this, as all communities have been hit hard, and our tribal communities have often been hit harder than others by the pandemic. So I had hoped to conclude these while I was still president of SOU. If that doesn't happen, I will be sure to leave good records and hope to hand this project off to the next president of SOU.
Right.
I also
we have to go. I'm sorry, President Schott. Sorry. We're almost out of time, but
okay.
But Linda Schott is retiring at the end of this year, president of Southern Oregon University. David Humphrey is the director of the Oregon Center for the Arts at SOU. And Kayla Dumore, thank you so much for coming in today to represent the Native American Student Union and yourself.
Yeah, thank you for having me.